1 Samuel chapter 3, I've read the chapter already, but I would just read before we begin to look at this passage, verse 10. And the Lord came and stood, calling, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak. And I think he was afraid to say, Lord, as he had been instructed, speak. For your servant hears. Central to this chapter is the call of this boy Samuel to be a prophet in Israel. You'll see that word call or calling repeatedly used in the chapter. We read here that the Lord called verbally, vocally, Samuel four times. He called him and he appointed him to be a prophet, to be a spokesman in Israel. At the end of the chapter, verse 20, we read, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. As you well know, there was no call to the priestly office in Israel. All the priests came from the tribe of Levi. It was given by inheritance. The Levites were set aside to serve the Lord in the temple. The Levites performed all the duties that were required in the temple service. There was also no call to the kingly office in Israel. A king's son would become king after his father's departure. Now, God might replace a king with a man from another line, as he did the Benjamite king Saul with the Judean king David. But then David's line was established on the throne. And our king, the Lord Jesus, is of the line of David. But there was a call to the prophetic office in Israel. God raised up men from various tribes to be his spokesman. He raised them up as it pleased him. A son of a prophet did not replace his father as the son of a priest did, as the son of a king did. Each prophet was called by God according to his will. So priests didn't need a divine call to the office. A king didn't need a divine call to the office. But prophets did. And they received individual calls, direct calls and experiences from God. It was God's design to give a barren woman from Ephraim a son and for her to give him up to the Lord for special service in the name of the Lord. You remember when she prayed, she said she would give him to the Lord. And the Lord answered her prayer. And she fulfilled that promise. And that's how God came to raise up a lad named Samuel to be prophet in Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 3 tells us about the calling of Samuel as a prophet. And here are some things we learn about his call. First, Samuel was called as a youth. The chapter begins with the words, now the boy Samuel. And then in verse 8, we read that Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. We don't know how old he was when the Lord called him, but he was young. The first edition of the English Standard Version, some of you may have, does not translate that boy, but young man. But we still don't know how old he was. The Hebrew word that is used there is sometimes used to refer to a newborn child, as in the case of Moses. We read in Exodus chapter 2, verse 6, that when Pharaoh's daughter first saw Moses in the reed basket as he floated along, the baby was crying. The word translated baby there is the word translated boy here. But it's sometimes used of a young man, as in the case of Jeremiah. When God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah replied to the Lord. This is in chapter 1, verse 6 of his book. Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. And the word translated youth there is translated boy in our passage. Well, God didn't always call full-grown men to be his servants. They weren't always men of age, like Elijah or Elisha. He sometimes called boys or young men to be prophets. Doesn't mean they fulfilled much work as a prophet when they were boys, but when they grew up, they served the Lord as prophets. Well, I think it's doubtful that Samuel is here is of beginner or primary age. He's not 4, 5, 6. But he may be of junior age, early teenager. He could have been 10, 12, 14, 16. There's no way we can know with certainty. But he was a boy. He was a young lad. We read in verse 7 that he did not yet know the Lord. Some people say that means he was not a believer yet. He was still outside of grace and needed to be converted. That's surely possible. But it probably goes along with the next statement. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Again, this is an indication of his youth. That probably means that Samuel knew and loved the Lord as a young boy, but he had never heard the word of the Lord communicated to him directly. So he had not a prophetic knowledge of God at this point, which of course is necessary for prophetic calling. So the Lord visited him that night in the temple to reveal himself and to call him to take up the mantle of prophetic office. It pleases the Lord sometimes to call his servants when they are young, when they're very young. When David replaced Saul as king, he was just a stripling lad. Samuel was the prophet that anointed him. Too was a lad when God called him to that work. So Samuel was called as a youth. We note next that he was called while he was serving. Look at verse 1 again. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord. The old ESV says, under Eli. It's literally in the presence of Eli. And that's a repeated refrain. We find those same words in chapter 2, verse 11. And the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. You remember 1 Samuel 1:28. Samuel had been lent to the Lord by his mother. By the way, I think that's the only way we should observe Lent, is give our children to the Lord. Lend them to the Lord. Well, she asked God for a son in prayer. He promised to give her a son. And when the Lord answered her prayer, she kept her word of promise. And when he was at the right age, she took him to the temple at Shiloh. The tabernacle is sometimes called temple, as it is here, and left him to serve the Lord under the supervision of the high priest Eli. Now, one of his duties is mentioned here in this passage of Scripture, verse 15. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord in the morning. That probably means he closed them at night as well. And he might have been the one responsible for putting oil in the lamps that were supposed to burn continually. But we see in verse 3, the lamps of God have not yet gone out. Eli may have been negligent of his duty to keep those lamps burning. Samuel may have kept the place tidy and clean. But whatever his tasks were, they were not great tasks. They were not extraordinary duties. But it didn't matter what he did in service. What mattered was that he served the Lord. He was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. The grown sons of Eli, who had major responsibilities, rebelled against God. But the boy Samuel ministered faithfully in small things. Again, he ministers under the supervision of Eli. He did what he was told to do by the high priest. And so he took care of menial tasks, like opening the doors. And in the midst of serving the Lord in small things, he was called by God to do great things. It isn't often that God calls men and women to service in great things who are not already serving Him in lesser things. In my childhood, I remember a man who led the music, who sang solos occasionally in our church. His name is John White. Bob and Faye would have known him. One of the songs that he sang regularly was entitled, "Little Is Much When God Is In It." He's just a short man, and I can see him to this day standing behind the pulpit with full voice singing that, "Little Is Much When God Is In It." One of the verses of that song says, "Does the place you're called to labor seem too small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own." The Lord said to Jeremiah, "Do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not." You remember what Jesus said of the man in the parable of the talents, who only had two talents, but made two more of them? Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Be faithful in small things. That's what this passage is telling us. Serve God where you are. Do the small things in the name of the Lord. When the deacons put out a clean-up sheet in the church, sign it. You won't be remembered by many people down here if you did something like that. But the Lord takes note of those kinds of things. And He will advance us to greater things in due time, if it pleases Him. Samuel was called while he was serving. We next see that Samuel was called when he was needed. Note again verse 1, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." And these words, of course, draw attention to the desperate need that Israel had for a prophet, for a word from the Lord which would come through a prophet. As you well know, God communicated His will to His people in those days through men whom He had called. He communicated His word to them, and they conveyed it to the people. That was the responsibility of a prophet. In our day, God calls men not to communicate a word He gives to them, but to preach and teach a word already given. There were few prophets in that day. God wasn't communicating His words to people very often at that time. Look at those words again. "The word of the Lord was rare in those days." God spoke to very few. And when He did, He often kept it private. Remember chapter 2? A man of God, a prophet, goes to see Eli, speaks judgment coming on his house. But he didn't speak that to the nation. He spoke it to Eli. And then verse 1 again, "There was no frequent vision." That is, revelatory visions that were given by God to prophets were infrequent. Not many visions in those days, is how the NIV translates it. The reason for that was because of the sins of Eli's sons. The spirit of prophecy was removed by and large from the land because Eli tolerated the appalling sins of his sons. And because of that, the Lord remained silent. We'll see that when we come later to verses 10 through 14. But in calling Samuel, the Lord's going to be changing this. Through Samuel, he would begin speaking to his people, communicating his will to his people. Note verse 19, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And then verse 21, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And calling a prophet for the nation, God declared his intentions to bring judgment on the house of Eli. So he raised up Samuel to be a prophet at a critical time in the history of Israel. A prophet was needed who would be faithful and true and serve the people well. The fourth fact that stands out about Samuel's call, and I think this is the most important, or it's the one that gets the most attention in the passage anyway, is that Samuel was submissive to the call of the Lord. He didn't reject the will of the Lord. He didn't refuse to hear the voice of the Lord. When he was told that it was God calling him and not Eli, he didn't put his fingers in his ears and say, "I don't want to hear." He was willing to listen, to hear, and to do whatever the Lord called him to do. So we can say that Samuel had an attentive ear. Do you? That's brought out here in this passage in the manner in which he was called. It happened one night. Eli, whom we're told was nearly blind, was lying in his bed. Samuel, too, was ready for sleep. His room was probably a little side chamber near the lamp. And as I said, verse 3 says, it had not yet gone out. It was burning low. I look at that in a metaphorical way, too. The light was about to go out in Israel. It was burning low. But God raises up his prophet. So he's in his little room. He's near the ark of God, verse 3 says. And then verse 4, God began to call Samuel. We're not told what the Lord said in that first call. I assume it was his name, but it doesn't say. But we have four calls that are given to us in intervals. The call came by way of a voice. It was a real voice speaking in the language he knew and understood, the Hebrew language. But Samuel didn't know who it was that called him. He assumed that it was Eli who was in the room nearby. So he answered, verse 4, "Here I am." And then since Eli wasn't at his door calling him, he made his way to Eli's room and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And of course, Eli had not called the boy, so he instructed him to go back and lie down. But then the Lord called again. And this time, verse 6, the call did include his name, Samuel. And he goes to Eli again, but it wasn't Samuel or Eli that called. And so he was instructed to return to his room again. This happened a third time. And this time, Eli perceived that the Lord was calling Samuel. So he instructed him to return to his room and next time say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And Samuel complied with Eli's instructions. The Lord came the fourth time and he said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel did as he was told. He replied, and I think because he was unsure if it really was the Lord, he only said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Remember, he did not yet know the Lord, according to verse 7, in the way of personal communication. I've never received a word like this from God before. He'd never had such an experience like that before. The Lord had never revealed himself to Samuel in that way before. The fourth call, however, was different in four ways. First, Samuel knew who was calling him now. If he believed what Eli said, Eli said, when he calls again, say, speak, Lord. It's the Lord that was calling him. So he knew that it was the Lord dealing now directly with him. Second, the Lord called him this time by repeating his name. He said it twice. Samuel, Samuel. And that would place special emphasis on the call. It would make a deeper impression on him that his name was called twice by the Lord. And third, we read, note verse 10, that the Lord came and stood calling as at other times. The language there may indicate that God appeared to him in the form of the angel of the Lord, as he appeared to many others in those Old Testament days. That is, was this a bodily appearance? Perhaps it was. And then fourth, Samuel responded with what James Roscup calls submissive receptivity. He welcomed the word of the Lord. Remember, I said he had an attentive ear? He listened. He obeyed. And in listening to the Lord, he acknowledges himself as the Lord's servant. Speak. Your servant hears. And as a servant of the Lord, he was prepared not only to hear what the Lord had to say, but to act on what the Lord told him. And he did this immediately and promptly. He didn't bargain with the Lord. He didn't say, I'll think about it. Come back tomorrow after I've slept on it. No, immediate, prompt. After Samuel willingly and freely submitted himself to the Lord, God communicated a clear word of judgment that would fall upon the house of Eli. That's verses 11 through 14. Let's look at what he told this young boy. Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hear it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Maybe a reference to the prophet who came in chapter 2. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. That is a frightful word, dear friends, to any parent who has children. If they restrain not their children, if they do not discipline their children and let them go on in a way of blaspheming the Lord will hold those parents accountable. And then he says, therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. You see, in letting his boys go on, and without reproving them, he shared in their sins. And they had crossed a line. And there would be no more sacrifice for sin for them. Now, Eli already knew this message. He heard it from that man of God who came. 1 Samuel 2, verses 27 to 36. But now Samuel knew. And Eli would hear the message of judgment again, this time from the lips of a young boy. What an unpleasant message for a young boy to hear. The final thing that we see about the call of Samuel was that he was given success. He was called as a youth, called while he was serving, called when he was needed, called and was found submissive, and he was called and given success. His first prophetic assignment was to tell Eli when he asked what the word from the Lord was. So would he fulfill that prophetic assignment? Would he pass the test? And if so, how would his message be received? We see in verse 15, after the Lord spoke to Samuel in the night, that he lay in his bed until morning. I wonder if he slept any. I doubt it. Did he ponder what had been revealed to him? Did he go over in his mind again all that had happened? How he thought Eli was calling him? How Eli said, "It's the Lord, so answer the Lord, don't come back and see me." Note also, when he woke, he didn't run around telling everybody what great experience he had just had. He went about his duties. He opened the door to the house of the Lord. Spurgeon makes this comment: "There are some of us who, if God had spoken to us as He had spoken to Samuel, would feel a deal too big to go and open doors anymore. If God were to come and speak to some who are poor, they would run away from their trade. If God were to speak to some who are young, they would give themselves mighty sirs. But Samuel meekly accepted the high honor of God had conferred upon him, and when he rose in the morning, he went about his usual duties." What a great insight, and that's made clear here in this passage. I don't suspect Eli slept much that night either. I wonder what the Lord is telling Samuel. Maybe he was hoping that Samuel would come to him at the light of day and divulge to him what the Lord had said. But note verse 15, Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. So he didn't go to Eli with a report about the events from the night before. So Eli called Samuel. And note here, the words of Eli's summons to him are very much like the Lord's call in the night. What did Eli say? "Samuel, my son." And what did Samuel say in reply? "Here I am." And then Eli asked Samuel what it was that the Lord said to him, and he even bound him by oath. "What was it that He told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that He told you." Oh, that message that Samuel heard must have weighed heavy on his heart. But note verse 18. He told him everything and hid nothing from him. In this one section, we see the faithfulness of Samuel to tell all that the Lord told him. And then we see the resignation of Eli because he responds, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." I'm happy when I read this passage to see that Samuel did not withhold any of the message. That's a good start, don't you think, for a young man who's been called and appointed to be a prophet of God, a spokesman for God? Why is that a good start? Because the prophet must say what the Lord says. He must say all that the Lord says, adding nothing and taking nothing away. I remember a sermon Ian Paisley preached once about a preacher being like a postman. The postman delivers the letters. He delivers all the letters. There are some things come in my mailbox I wish the postman wouldn't bring. The bills. You know, the notices that it's time to pay your insurance, your property tax, and those kinds of things. Other things you get in the mail, you're quite delighted to get. But you see, a postman just delivers it all, doesn't he? He doesn't say, "Well, let's look here what Steve's got in the mail today. Oh, he won't want that and chug it." No, he brings all the mail to the house. And that's what a prophet is to do. And Samuel passed the test. Look at that again. He told him everything and hid nothing from him. And so what else could Eli do? He bowed his head to the divine sentence. He knew it was just. So there is resignation, but there is still something he could have done, should have done. He should have gotten on his knees and repented, confessed his sins. That judgment may still come upon him, but his heart would have been right in the sight of God. Well, in the days following, it was clear that the Lord was with Samuel. And the Lord gave him success. Verse 19, Samuel grew. And here we fast forward a while. Now, the next chapter is going to bring us right back to the time then, but he's fast forwarding here. Samuel grew physically, spiritually, in every way. He grew older, he grew wiser, and the Lord was with him. And none of his words, and let none of his words fall to the ground. That means the prophecies that he uttered were true. The accuracy by which he spoke confirmed, in accordance with Deuteronomy 18, that he was a true prophet of the Lord. And note verse 20, all the people of Israel, from one end of the country, that is, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And verse 21, the Lord manifested his presence among the people once again. Thanks be unto God. God was speaking to his people again through Samuel, the prophet that he raised up. Now let me say in conclusion tonight that we ought not expect to hear the voice of the Lord calling us, as he did Samuel. It's been the subject of some of our Sunday school classes lately. Apostles and prophets, the Lord called them out in different ways, appearing directly to them, speaking verbally to them, giving his word, imparting his word by way of revelation, that they might impart it to others. We're not going to hear a voice from heaven calling our name, as Samuel did. But we do hear the Lord calling us through his word and the application of it in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. My first thought here is to say, well, how does God call men to preach his word today? He does it in several ways that are not altogether unlike the call of Samuel. God calls men who know him and love him. He calls those who are serving him. He calls those who are qualified in character, who submit wholly to him. He calls those who have an inward desire to do the work. I think one of the key verses in the scripture that relates to calling to those who are preachers of the gospels, elders, is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, where Paul says this is a faithful saying, if a man desires, if he aspires to the office, the position of a bishop, the overseer, he desires a good work. Where does that desire come from? That's something God implants in his heart. And that's the essence of the call today. God doesn't speak directly to people today as he did with Samuel, but he does speak through his word. And he implants holy ambitions in the heart of some to do his work, those who have the character qualifications that he mandates, those whom the church itself recognize to have gifts and callings of the Lord. But dear friends, we must not ignore the word. To Samuel, it was spoken directly. To us, it's in this book. It is his written word. And we must not hear that word with disobedient hearts. We must listen to Scripture and always be saying, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Lord, I'm opening my Bible today to read your word. Will you speak to me through your word? Let this not be something dead to my heart and dry and uninteresting. Lord, come with your word. Blessed Spirit, give me understanding and speak to my heart. But there's more than just a special word here for those whom the Lord calls. There's a message here for children. Samuel was a boy when God called him. And we pray that God will reveal Himself to our children in a similar way as He revealed Himself to Samuel. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That may be true of some of you children in the saving sense. You don't know Him as your Lord and Savior yet. I think Samuel did at the time. But we can apply those words that way. Did not know the Lord. Saving me. Is that true of you? Young people, boys and girls. The Lord in the gospel calls sinners to believe on Him. I once did a children's talk here. Some of you may remember it. None of the children would. Maybe I shouldn't give it away. I'll do it again sometime. But I had all the kids down here, and my son was visiting, and I had him call my cell phone. And so I'm talking to the kids, and all of a sudden my phone goes off. And I take my phone out, and the kids wonder if I'm going to answer it. And I say, what should I do? What should I do? And they all said, answer it! And I used that as an illustration of the Lord is calling you in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. He calls you to come to Him, believe in Him, turn from your sins. What ought you to do? Answer it. Come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, will you listen to the voice of God that comes to us from the Bible? Will you hear the word of the Lord? Will you believe in Christ to save you while you're young? Don't keep putting this off. Why aren't you one of the Lord's now? Maybe the Lord will put a desire in your heart as a young boy or a young girl to serve the Lord in some special capacity as Samuel did. Elizabeth's coming to visit us next week, God willing. Early on, since the call, had a desire to be a missionary. And now she has a husband who's a missionary. They're laboring side by side. Young people, will you hear the Lord? Will you go where He leads you? Will you serve the Lord according to the gifts and abilities that He gives you? Samuel is a great example, isn't he? To children everywhere, in every generation. Think of it. When others were rebelling against the Lord, and I'm thinking of Eli's sons in particular, Samuel was serving the Lord and was attentive to His word. Oh, dear children, I hope you'll follow in the path of Samuel and that you will say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Our Father and our God, thank You so much for Your great love for us. Thank You for revealing Yourself to us in the person of Your Son. In Your written Word, what we know about Him is found in this book. We're not going to stand before our mirror in the morning and have You come in some audible way and speak to us and appear to us. If we hear the voice of God, it will come from Your Word. Oh, blessed Spirit, open these deaf ears that we might hear, these blind eyes that we might see, these dead hearts that we might live and know Him and serve Him. Oh, dear God, may it be true of everyone here. Maybe there are folk well past childhood and they've not yet heard or listened with an attentive ear. They've heard, but it's not gone down deep in their hearts yet. They've not believed yet. Oh, Lord, bring them and bring their children. Every boy, every girl in this place, oh, mighty God, be pleased to save them for the sake of Your Son who died to redeem us. We pray these things in His name. Amen.